Hey man, that's good.
Man.
Yeah, I'm glad Sarah mentioned that because, you know, we had our dear friends that are from the persecuted church in China last Sunday. How many people were here for Jack and Hannah? What an incredible couple. And at lunch, he was showing us this video of the authorities coming and dragging this man off and his wife being beaten. And I was like, who is that? He goes, that's me. Like, wow. And it just gives you a, you know, a wake-up call at the price that's being paid for the gospel. And I mean, you guys saw, it's such a happy, joyful folks. And he shared the miracle of getting to go to California to seminary. So they're in the U.S. for a season. And she reiterated to us, because they've been connected with River Life overall for probably almost 20 years. And Sarah's been to their churches and there with our pastors. But she reiterated to us at lunch. She said, here's the thing. Places like River Life are really unusual. And she said, we need more of that. And I was like, you know what? That's so wild you said that, because that's exactly why we started the River Life School of Ministry last fall. You know, we're going to continue it this fall. There's more. I'll give you more information on that if you're interested. It's for anybody. But it's just the Lord, when he, by his grace, gives you a gift spiritually, you realize it's not just yours to keep, but it's also yours to give away. And you're going to be seeing more of Jack and Hannah and probably some others, you know, of their friends, because they've been, we're talking about, you know, additional training and equipping. And I mean, they got a lot to give to us. I'm like, heck, I don't know what I've got to give to you. You just come here and impart to me whatever it is you have, you know. But yeah, and then I just asked for your prayers. Sarah alluded to this. 3 weeks from today, me and Gabe, my daughter-in-law, Amy, and then Melissa Forsythe, who her and her husband, Scott, are at our Mooresville church. And they have been the directors of our summer camp for teenagers, Camp Morley. That's just, can't say enough about that. For over a decade, they've been doing that. I think 12 years or more. And so she's going on our team. And then we're going with our, he's preached in this church before, but he's another mentor in Mooresville named Jeff Miller. And 15 or 20 years ago, he started a ministry in Ghana called the Father's House, where they rescue children caught in childhood slavery. And they have homes for them and discipleship. And so he's been doing that for a long time. Well, he has a friend named Bill Campbell who's got a base and a ministry called Prepare the Way Ministry in Uganda. And he, so Jeff and Melissa that I was just talking about that did Camp Morley, they just went there this spring. And I was watching his testimonies on Facebook, like, blind eyes open, crippled arms straightened. I mean, it was, I was like, how can I go there? And he said, so we got to lunch. We had lunch one day and he said, well, Bill's saying, hey, could you guys bring as many as two teams a year to Uganda? Because the harvest is just much, but the laborers are few, so to speak. And so that's one of the main reasons that we're going, is to kind of scout that out. And next summer, my goal is to start like a summer session that'll of the school of ministry that'll be open to anybody, called the Adventure School, where we'll take a few weeks to for practical evangelism training and then go for a few weeks to Uganda. So if you're interested in that, just stay tuned. And then Jeff has felt the Lord call him to build homes for disenfranchised women in three nations in Africa. So particularly those who have been widowed, but my understanding is in some of those cultures, unmarried women just don't have a lot of property rights and can have a difficult time. And so so that will be in Uganda, in Ghana, and in Kenya as well. So he's going on this trip in 3 weeks to scout more on that. And then Melissa's going, Matthew, I haven't been this excited about a potential ministry in a long, long time. And that is, she's been asked by Bill Campbell, who has this base in Uganda, hey, would you do a camp for middle and like teenagers For Ugandan teenagers at the end of the year, because their 2-month break from school is like, I don't know, December and January. So over winter break, Melissa and Scott might be getting teams to go and do kind of like what Ben and Anna Grace are getting ready to go do in Mexico. So I just want you to pray. I'm just coveting your prayers right now and just saying, Lord, we don't know what you're up to, but we say yes. We thank you that your heart is for the nations and that even our humble little church here, God, that you want to do great things. So awesome. Awesome. So, all right, before I get into sharing what I feel like the Lord gave me for this morning, I want to say a big congratulations to our dear friends, Antoine and De'Asia, on their engagement. Let's go. So it's good to see you guys. Congrats, we're excited. Yeah. And of course, Kenda and Gus are about to get married in October too. So, wedding bells are in the air. How many people like weddings? I like weddings. I mean, funerals can be an honor and a celebration, but weddings, I like weddings. Weddings and babies. They're pregnant, by the way, with number two. I didn't let the cat out of the bag. That was public. Okay, all right. If you ever made that mistake as a preacher, you're like, oh, shoot. No one knew that, but now they do. So, thank you, Lord. Well, let me just, yeah, congratulations, guys. We're going to grow this church one way or the other. From the ground up. Thank you, Jesus. Well, Lord, we just thank you that you are always faithful to us and that you never fail to speak to us the words of life. Amen. So, Holy Spirit, would you continue to do that for us this morning from your word? In Jesus' name, in Jesus' name. Well, I feel like the Lord wants to say to you, the pressure's off. I just see in the spirit like a pressure valve on a tire or, a the hose that you air things up and it's going. Tss. The Lord's not deflating you. He's actually expanding you. But the way in which he expands you is the opposite of the natural. You don't grow by doing more. You grow by rest and just simply being with him. And I try to practice what I preach. And so this week I was just sitting with the Lord and meditating upon his goodness and just opening my Bible to where my schedule is. I'm opposite of Sarah. She's sort of like a flip and bounce all over the Bible kind of person. And I've got my reading plan. Is anybody like me? It's just different. I'm not saying one's not better or right or wrong. It's just the way it is. So I go to my regular reading plan, and I'm in Luke chapter 1, kind of around the birth of Christ area, you know. And the Lord, through this story, just reminds me of something. And I'm like, man, how many know sometimes the most profound spiritual realities are actually the most simple? Have you ever heard like one of the best sermons you've ever heard, and then you go back and think about what it was, and it was like John 3:16. I mean, it was like, wow, that wasn't really like deep revelation, but yet it just pricked your heart in the right moment, and it was the word for today. And it, again, I think that biblically, the most profound things can be the most simple things, and so this is kind of one of those moments. And before I read the scripture, though, it's Luke 1:34, where Gabriel came to Mary. But I was driving down the road. I think it was either Ben or Anna Grace. It might have been both of them. I can't remember. And I was just, in Deuteronomy, it says, parents, talk about the law, but I'll use the word. Talk about the word when you lie down and when you raise up. In our vernacular, while you're driving down the street and while you're making dinner. So, we try to do that. Just a little tidbit, this is a little freebie for you parents, is when God speaks to you, talk about it openly with your kids as they're growing up. Because, again, they're not going to become just what you say. They're going to become who you are.
And so when they see mom and dad doing that, so I've tried to model that. And so this is one of kind of those moments where I got a fresh word I'm chewing on. And so we're driving down the street and I'm like, hey, what about this? I said, Anna Grace, you know, whenever you feel something about your life or you want to do something or whatever, or you're excited about something, but it seems so big and insurmountable that in the natural you, you kind of sit back and go, well, how in the world am I going to do that? How many people have ever thought, well, that's great, but how would I ever afford that? Okay, be honest. or I'm just not quite, I don't like, Lord, okay. Or somebody invites you to something. You're like, yeah, but I don't know if that's me. Like, I don't know if I have the skills. Well, let me remind you of something. In Luke 1, there was this teenage girl. Well, let me just read it. The angel came and said, you're going to have a baby? You guys know. But she said, but how can this happen? The classic how question. How is this going to happen because I'm a virgin? And the angel replied, the Holy Spirit is going to come upon you. And the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the baby to be born will be holy and he will be called the Son of God. See, I put a title on this message. It's called All of the Holy Spirit. The pressure's off of you because everything that God's called you to do and to be is all by the power of the Holy Spirit. And I do mean all. I can't stress all, every, complete enough. All and every is exactly what the Bible says and exactly what the Bible means. There is not a separation of sacred and secular within our lives. There shouldn't be. It's like, well, I've got my church and ministry, my Bible ceremony, you know, whatever. And that's like my spiritual. But then, you know, Monday through Saturday or Monday through Friday, I'm at work. And I've got this, and I got the kids, and I got the family, you know, whatever your life is like. Oftentimes, sometimes we have a hard time seeing those as one and the same. And I get it, because life is busy. There's a lot of pressures. There's a lot of stresses. Not to mention that almost every message in our culture growing up is contrary to what I'm telling you. It says you have to. You got to get up. You know, mom's getting you out of bed from the youngest of age. You got to go study. You got to work hard. You got to study, study, study. You got to get this degree. Michael shared a testimony. Don't come home with a B or I'm going to take away all of your high school. He was in the marching band in high school. You don't mind me sharing that. And it was one of his great loves. And he actually found a community there. And one day he came home with a, 90 was a, he, I just heard him tell this recently, 90 was the A in school, and you got an 89.4. Woo. Teachers.
That's cold-blooded.
Now, don't ever do that.
Don't do that, nobody.
Dude, I mean, write an extra paper, and I'll give you 0.2 more points to get it up to an 89.6, which rounds to a 90. But he comes home with an 89.4, and the first thing that his dad does was take away band for the rest of the year. So what is the message that this young man in school is getting is that if I don't perform, I'm not accepted. And I will fail. I want to say hogwash. Baloney. Whatever your choice of words are. I just don't believe that's true. Well, are you saying that you shouldn't work hard? No. I'm saying, what is the source for what God's called you to do and to be? Is it you, or are you 100% reliant upon Him? Because we don't need more of the Holy Spirit. We need all of Him. I don't need to just be filled halfway. I need to be completely consumed. Mary asked the angel, but how can this happen? And he said, the power of the Holy Spirit will come upon you. So anytime I ask the Lord, well, how? Remember, this is always the answer, who? The answer to how is who? The Holy Spirit is who? the Holy Spirit will come upon you with power. He's like, yeah, I get it. And I really want to prophesy. I'm not talking about that. I am talking about that, but not just that. Well, yeah, I understand. Power of the Holy Spirit come upon me. I can lay my hands on the sick and they'll recover. Yes, but there's way more than that. The power of the Holy Spirit will come upon you to parent your child. Amen. The power of the Holy Spirit will come upon you, Antoine, to make the NFL. The power of the Holy Spirit will come upon you to excel in business. You fill in the blank for whatever, to be a college student. Whatever it is in your life, this morning, I feel God wants to encourage us that it's all by the power of the Holy Spirit. Therefore, we get all of Him. Amen. We need more of Him. Yeah. We can't get enough of Him. Yeah. This is how God accomplishes His work. Go after Him. The Holy Spirit, y'all, is a person. Get to know Him. He's kind. He's a comforter. I believe in Dr. Dawkins here and counseling and biblical therapy and all these things. They're absolutely awesome. And what she does is through the power of the Holy Spirit. But the and in addition to the Holy Spirit is called the Counselor.
Yes.
Come on.
Before or in addition to sitting down with a spirit-filled counselor like Angel, you need counseling. Go talk to him. Go sit down. I don't care if it helped you. This might help you. Get two chairs. One for you and one for your counselor. You're like, yeah, but that one's empty. No, it's not empty. Begin to talk to that chair, even if it feels silly at first, like you're sitting in front of your therapist or your counselor. Again, I'm not saying don't go to therapy. No, I believe you. Yeah, absolutely. Go. Here, talk to your counselor because that's needed. That's good. But also remember, you have the counselor. The Prince of Peace. Woo! How many people just need peace in your life during the week? Lord have mercy. This world is tough. I mean, everything is built in America to steal my peace. Everything. 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 Even stuff that I love like Instagram. 5 minutes in, and it's like, where did my peace go? It's not even necessarily anything bad. Y'all know what I'm talking about. I mean, then there's a lot of different things like that. Shopping. Oh, Lord, my peace just left as soon as we hit the mall. Her peace just rose. She's like, ooh, shopping. Anna Grace said the other day, she goes, Dad, I think... Oh, Mom, after she shot for 4 hours, it's like a minimum of 4 hours. I was like, girl, it ain't a minimum of 4 hours. She just getting started in 4 hours.
Just started, bro.
I'm like, where is the bed? Like, I'm like, can we go to a mattress store to shop? Because I need to take a nap. I love those stores that have, like, the cushy couches in the corner. I mean, I literally go to the sales associates and be like, this chair is awesome.
Yes.
More of that. Anyway, let me get back to what was the point? Oh, yeah, peace. It's all by the Holy Spirit to give you what you need. Y'all remember Moses? I like to call him Mo. It just makes it more personal, but we'll call him Moses. Moses is this story. Y'all turn with me. Let me do this first. Hold on. He was a Christ type. He is a Christ type. An Old Testament like hint or a foreshadowing of what was to come in Jesus. You know, Moses is known as a deliverer of the nation of Israel from 400 years of slavery. How many know that's a big deal? I mean, can you imagine 400 years? That's about double them, the age of our nation. We just celebrated our birthday. 400 years. Can you imagine being slaves for 400 years? But even more than that, can you imagine being the person that God comes to and goes, hey, you know the people of yours? I'm sending you to get them out of that. Like, what? I don't know. I'm going to do that. That's the story that we're coming to. But Jesus that he foreshadowed, he wasn't just a deliverer. As you know, he was the deliverer of humanity from sin, sickness, bondage, for all nations forever. And now, guess what? The New Testament says, and I love the way the Passion Translation expresses this. This is 2 Corinthians 5:18. And God has made all things new and reconciled us to himself and given us the ministry of reconciling others to God. In other words, it was through the anointed one that God was shepherding the world, not even keeping records of their transgressions. Hello. And he has entrusted to us the ministry. Now listen to this. This is you and the person next to you. He's given us the ministry of opening the door of reconciliation to God. Don't you love that? When you think about your unsaved friends or neighbors or coworkers or whatever, think about it this way. Listen, I'm not trying to convince them of their wickedness. They're well acquainted with that, even if they hide it real well. What I'm doing is saying, listen, what happened with Adam was there was a breach in a relationship. But what happened with Jesus is the door to reconciliation has now been opened. Now you're invited to come in. Would you like to walk through that door with me today? This is the ministry of reconciliation that he has given us. It says we are ambassadors of the anointed one who carry the message of Christ to the world as though God. What? I am as though God were tenderly pleading with them directly through our lips. So we tenderly plead with you on Christ's behalf. Wow. Hey, turn back to God. Be reconciled to him. For God made the only one who did not know sin to become sin for you. Amen. So that you might become what? The righteousness of God. In Christ, the righteousness of God through our union with him. How many know that's really good news? Yeah. This is really good news. And this is like our inheritance spiritually from Moses. It's a foreshadowing. Now we live in the era after Christ, praise God. And we also have been called through the ministry of reconciliation to be deliverers. And so how are we going to do that? Through the power of what? The Holy Spirit. As a human being, Moses asked how too. And he questioned God 5 times. Did you know that? It all started for Moses through an encounter with the living God. But after that encounter, he's like, but God, Have you ever done that? Like, have you ever like had this major moment with God? We'll use the word encounter. Like, you can picture the scene in your mind. You know God was in the room. He spoke to you. Somebody got you off the floor. Whatever the case was. You're just sitting in your time with the Lord. You feel him. You're writing. You just feel so on fire. You're like, yeah, let's go. Like, awesome. This is God. Come on. By the next morning, you're like, what? That wasn't me. No, that's not me. God, I'm sorry. You picked the wrong person. That happened to me last spring, actually, at the beginning of last year, 2022. I felt God say, hey, I want you to initiate this River Life School of Ministry to train up anybody for the kingdom, for what we want to do. And I'm like, okay. I was so excited about it. I was like, oh, this could be awesome. And then about 2 weeks later, I was like, God, like, this is a lot of work. Like, I need a website. I need to get all the details together. And then we got half of our people in Mooresville and half here. How are we going to do that? And plus, God, have you ever done this? I don't really have time for it. I mean, I don't know if you've seen my iPhone calendar, Lord, but it's booked. I've got 6 children. I'm the lead pastor of a church that's growing. And like, you want me to do this? How is this going to happen, Jamar? The power of the Holy Spirit. Y'all, it's been one of the best things that the Lord has done recently. And I'm not talking about me. I'm talking about him. What God has called you to do, whatever he requires, he's going to provide it.
That's right.
That's the thing that you have to remember. I don't care if it's money or if it's time or if it's energy. Just take a step. Yeah. Take a step of faith with him. And back to Moses. I believe we have a lot to receive here in this passage we're about to read, because I'm going to say we're like a Moses generation. What do you mean by that? Well, we've been chosen by the Father to be born and live and minister on the earth in this era, where I will remind you about 50 years ago, just like the devil tried to kill all the baby boys, you know what I'm talking about, with Moses. And then he tried to do that again with Jesus' generation. Did it ever dawn on you that there weren't many boys his age? He grew up with a lot of girls, because Herod killed all the two and under males in his area. So when they came back from Egypt, it was like, I mean, feel bad for him. It was like the little boy Jesus and all the girls. It's a little, that's funny, but it's not. I mean, it's just, it's infanticide. Well, since 1973, I was born in 74, right around the turn of the year. You know, the devil's been trying to do that. Any of us that were born after 1973, like we're survived. Like God, you should know you have a purpose on your life. You're a Moses generation, and I believe it's to set people free. God has called you to be a deliverer, but we're never going to do it through our own strength. I don't care if you got $1 billion in your bank account. That is not what God requires. God only requires humble little servants saying, "Yes, Father, I understand that I am the righteousness of God in Christ." Not only that, Jesus said in John 17 that I didn't just call you a servant. I made you a friend. Let me show you the Father. All of these things that I preach and preach and preach. I feel like a broken record sometimes talking about the Father and friendship with the Father and the Holy Spirit. It's because it's so crucial. We are a Moses generation. Isn't it interesting with recent legislation that some of that is coming to an end at exactly like 50 years? We're a Pentecost generation. Yeah. Yeah. I don't consider us a Pentecostal church. That's a little bit of a different thing. But we're Pentecostals. We're Pentecostals, y'all, because it's 50 years in to the enemy trying to take us out, but God. But God's got a plan. All right, let me get into this real quick. Y'all okay? It's 11:33. All right. Let's start Exodus 3:1. Read 15 verses there real quickly. Exodus 3. This is a classic story. You might know it from your Sunday school or children's church. Or one day, Moses was tending the flock of his father-in-law, Jethro, the priest of Midian. He led the flock far into the wilderness and came to Sinai, the mountain of God. There, the angel of the Lord appeared to him in a blazing fire from the middle of a bush. Let me stop here and just note for school ministry students, you know what I'm about to say. Let me just say it this way, because I don't have time to go really deep into this. I believe, and other theologians believe this, there's a really good indication that it wasn't just an angel of God in the bush, but it was a pre-incarnate Jesus. Amen. Now, okay, if you question that, that's fine. You can go back and research it for yourself. But just imagine with me, just for the sake of it, just imagine Moses is walking along. Of course, he doesn't know Jesus. Jesus will be thousands of years later, the man. But out of this bush, he hears a voice. What if that voice was Jesus of Nazareth calling? I mean, John wrote in John 1 that in the beginning was the Word. Before everything existed, he existed. Anyway, that's kind of cool. But Moses stared in amazement, and though the bush was engulfed in flames, it didn't burn up. This is amazing, Moses said to himself. Why isn't that bush burning up? I must go see it. When the Lord saw Moses come take a closer look, God called to him from the middle of the bush. "Moses, Moses, here I am," Moses replied. Now, here's what's interesting about this verse 4. When the Lord saw Moses coming to take a closer look. Sometimes, I think probably all the time, a lot of times, I'm praying, "God, I just want a fresh encounter with you. Lord, send me an angel. Send whatever you want to do. Lord, I just need more of you." And that's not a bad prayer. I won't ever stop praying that. But then I read this and I realize The encounter was there, but the man could have missed it if he didn't take time to stop and look. Because if Moses wouldn't have gone to that up to that burning bush, would God have still be in the bush? Would Jesus still be in there? Absolutely. But Moses could have missed his day of visitation if he didn't stop his busy shepherding. Lord, I ain't got time. I got sheep. You know about sheep. They take a lot of time. How am I going to take care of these sheep? And I see a bush over here burning. I ain't got time for that. I mean, I'm just trying to put this in funny terms, but this is my life. Like, that person, I want you to stop and pray for her. Oh, God, I got to get the kids to school. How many know? You got a list of things, and I feel convicted by what I'm saying. This is real life. But how many people have ever just stopped the inconvenience by the grace of God? You did what the Holy Spirit was prompting you to do, and God was in that bush, like figuratively. Like whoever that person you talked to, it was just like this God moment. And it's like, Lord, teach us your ways. So this is what Moses did in verse 5. Do not come any closer, the Lord warned. Take off your sandals, for you're standing on holy ground. I am the God of your father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob. When Moses heard this, he covered his face because he was afraid to look at God. Then the Lord told him, I have certainly seen the oppression of my people in Egypt. I have heard their cries of distress because of their harsh slave drivers. Yes, I am aware of their suffering. So I have come down to rescue them from the power of the Egyptians and lead them out of Egypt into their own fertile and spacious land. It is a land flowing with milk and honey, the land where the Canaanites, Hittites, Amorites, Perizzites, Hivites, and Jebusites now live. Look, the cry of the people of Israel has reached me. And I have seen how harshly the Egyptians abuse them. See, I feel like the Lord is saying, do you think, guys, that I have not seen the oppression of the world around you in 2023? Do you think I don't know about all the abuse that are suffering, of all the violence that is happening? Do you think I don't see those caught in addiction? Do you think I don't know? I want you to put the church, us, in the place of this shepherd. What's a shepherd? It's a pastor. But you're all called to be pastors and priests and kings in this room. He's called us all as a Moses generation to go down and say, hey, church, do you think I don't know? Do you think I was absent from a global pandemic? Do you think I don't understand that the things that exist in the world, all the evils, all the injustice, and all the oppression of the devil? But the Bible says that Jesus went about doing good and destroying all the works of the devil. Everybody say all.
All.
I believe all is what God wants us to go after. But how are we going to do that? By the power of the Holy Spirit. Because he's the answer. Verse 10, now go, for I'm sending you to Pharaoh. You must lead my people Israel out of Egypt. And here's protest number one. But Moses protested to God. How many know that's never a good idea?
Never.
You've done it, though. Don't say you haven't. You got to be honest. But Moses protested to God. Who am I to appear before Pharaoh? Who am I to lead the people of Israel out of Egypt? Okay, you know the story about Moses. I don't need to go back into that. Why is he questioning that? Does he not know his identity? Surely by now he knew that his mother had hid him from the infanticide of the Pharaoh, and number one, his life had been saved. Then he grows up as the grandson to the Pharaoh in the palace with all the privilege. He knew exactly, and then, you know, he had killed the Egyptian and he had to flee for his life. He knew all these things, but somehow in the middle of the desert, we begin to question the very purpose for which we were born. Hello. So God's talking to somebody. And this is your son. God answered him in the response, I will be with you. See, the question to how is always who. I will be with you, the Lord says. And this is your sign that I am the one who has sent you. When you have brought the people out of Egypt, you will worship God at this very mountain. Verse 13. But Moses protested. Number two protest. God. If I go to the people of Israel, all right, who am I? Okay, you convinced me, Lord. I might not feel very good about myself, but if you're going to go with me, I guess it'll work. Oh, wait. Question number two. But if I go to the people of Israel and tell them the God of your ancestors has sent me to you, they will ask me, well, what's his name? And then what should I tell them? And God replied to Moses, I am who I am. Say this to the people of Israel. I am has sent me to you. God also said to Moses, say this to the people of Israel. Yahweh, the God of your ancestors, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob has sent me to you. This is my eternal name, my name to remember for all generations. All right, skip over to the next chapter. We're almost done here. Chapter 4, verse 1. Protests number 3. Bah, 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 bah. But Moses protested again. Okay, all right, I got the identity thing settled. I got the name, the who. But what about this one? What if they won't believe me or listen to me? What if they say the Lord never appeared to you? Have you ever been in that situation? God said, hey, go tell this person, but what if they don't believe me? Or, you know, I've been up here, God's giving like words of knowledge for healing. I'm like, Lord, what if I say it and like nobody raises their hand? Awkward. What if I go to Africa and like I don't know what to do? What if I, all the what ifs, there's a million what ifs in life. But the Holy Spirit wants to deal with them by saying, remember, it's not about you. It's about him. It's about the power of the Most High. Like Mary, how am I going to be like this? He said, he's going to overshadow you.
That's right.
He's going to take care of it. Then the Lord asked him, well, what's that in your hand? A shepherd's staff, Moses replied. Throw it down on the ground. The Lord told him. So Moses threw down the staff. It turned into a snake. Moses jumped back. Then the Lord told him, reach out and grab its tail. So Moses reached out and grabbed it, and it turned back into a shepherd's staff in his hand. Perform this sign, the Lord told him. Then they will believe that the Lord, the God of their ancestors, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob, really has appeared to you. You see, sometimes it's exactly what God has given you to work with that he wants to use.
Yes. Yes.
But not within your own strength. It'll be supernatural.
Come on.
See, Moses thought it was just a stick for taking care of the sheep. But God turned it into a snake so that he can realize this isn't just a natural thing. This is supernatural.
Yeah.
So are you an engineer? Great. You're an engineer. God's going to take engineering and use it supernaturally within your life and your environment.
Yeah.
Or whatever your lot is in life, look for what God's put already in your hands and saying, I know who I am. I know who I am. I know who it is that's called me. Now I'm going to walk in confidence
yes.
that it's the power of the Holy Spirit upon me. Then the Lord said to Moses, now put your hand inside your cloak. So Moses put his hand inside his cloak. When he took it out again, his hand was white as snow with a severe skin disease. Now put your hand back in your cloak. The Lord said, so Moses put it back in. When he took it out, it was as healthy as the rest of his body. The Lord said to Moses, if they do not believe you and are not convinced by the first miraculous sign, they will be convinced by the second sign. I was reading this book. I've read it before, but Power to Heal by Dr. Randy Clark. How many know who Randy Clark is? And in here, one of the chapters is about why did Jesus heal the sick? And the number one reason why Jesus healed the sick was to prove to the people that he was who he said he was. Now, do you see how Moses is a foreshadowing a Christ type? Because this is exactly what God is telling Moses. He's like, hey, if none of these other three things are good enough or enough for you, then check this out. You see, don't think that God isn't able to back up what he said. But the key is that you walk in obedience to the lane that you put him in. He's put you in, knowing that it's by his grace, not in your own strength, that you're going to be empowered by the Most High. All right, let me wrap this. So where are we? Verse 10. But Moses pleaded with the Lord. Oh, Lord, I'm not very good with words. Did anybody grow up with a stutter? I never have been. I'm not now. Even though you have spoken to me, I'm tongue-tied. And my words get tangled. I'm not making fun of them. I'm empathizing with them.
That's real.
I mean, can you imagine like being growing up with a stutter and then you're called to go set 4 million people free? Like, here's the plan. You're going to be my spokesperson. Yeah. Like, what? No, I'm not. I don't even talk in front of people.
Right.
There's people in this room who have told me, that was wild when I took the microphone, because you don't understand. I don't talk in front of people. Yeah, I understand. I don't either. You know, public speaking is a higher percentage in a survey than death. More people are afraid to speak in public than they are to literally to die.
Come on, bro.
So we can empathize, can't we, with Moses here. And then the Lord asked Moses, wait a second now. Who makes a person's mouth? Who decides whether people speak or do not speak? Hear or do not hear? See or who do not or see or do not see? Is it not I, the Lord? Now go! I will be with you as you speak, and I will instruct you in what to say. Now, how many people, if you're Mo, you're good. Wow, I mean, I've been through 4 tough moments with God, 4 protests. All right, Lord, I got it. I know who I am. I know who he is, what his name is. He told me, okay, if that's not enough, I know what to do. He's going to back me up with miracles, signs and wonders. Good. We're good, right? We're good. All right, let's see if Moses. Wait a second. Ba, 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 ba. But Moses again protested. What? Moses protested again? Lord, please send anyone else. Watch out for the light. I'm going to get him. Watch out. The Lord became angry with Moses. All right, he said, what about your brother Aaron, the Levite? I know he speaks well. And look, he's on his way to meet you now. He will be delighted to see you. Talk to him and put the words in his mouth. I will be with both of you as you speak, and I will instruct you both in what to do. Aaron will be your spokesman to the people. He will be your mouthpiece, and you will stand in the place of God for him, telling him what to say. And take your shepherd's staff and use it to perform the miraculous signs I have shown you. Don't we serve a gracious God? I mean, despite all of our hard-headedness, all of our lack of faith. And I was thinking, too, I'm not going to go there, but you know the Hall of Faith in Hebrews 11? I'm pretty sure Moses is one of those guys. I mean, and God writes your story different than the way you write your story. See, if Moses were writing Hebrews, it would be like, oh, this guy doubted, and then he doubted again, and then he doubted again. You think Thomas was bad? You know, he would tell this whole story, but the author of Hebrews says, no, Moses, filled with faith, saw something. I believe it even talks about how he saw Christ. I remember one of my friends, Ryan, our Wilmington pastor, he pointed out, he goes, how could he have possibly seen Christ? Christ wouldn't appear for thousands of years later. But yet he saw something. You see, God wants you to see something that no one else sees. You can see into this spiritual realm that there's secrets there, that there's blessings there. That the Ephesians 1 says that there's every spiritual blessing for you in the heavenly places. Everything the Lord intended for Moses to do would not be accomplished through his natural skill, talents, or ability, but through the enabling power of God. Again, make this personal and practical. How are you going to raise your kids to love Jesus with all their heart, mind, soul, and strength? The power of the Holy Spirit. How are you going to solve the dilemmas in your marriage that don't seem to have a solution? The power of the Holy Spirit. How are you going to walk in the ministry calling that's been prophesied over you for decades? The power of the Holy Spirit. Friday night, we had the honor to go celebrate Dennis's 60th birthday. And I witnessed some of the people in this room I'll call you young adults because you are. I witnessed young adult after young adult. There was a time where Kathleen had people to speak one at a time and just to say a word of honor or whatever about Dennis. And I witnessed young adult after young adult tell about losing or not having their dad. Yet God used Dennis Lindsay to become a father to them. It's incredible. But I bet if he were here this morning and we asked him, well, how did you do that? Guess what his answer is going to be, Jamar?
The power of the Holy Spirit.
The power of the Holy Spirit. It's the only way. Because he would probably say, I'm not that good. I'm not good enough. And see, that's the very thing that holds most of us back from stepping in the very thing that God has for us, is that spiritual insecurity. But take heart. Moses is no different than you. I mean, we put him on this pedestal as a patriarch, as he is, a prophet, as he was. The Bible says he was a friend of God. He talked with God like a man talks with his friend. So we read those stories and we're like, well, Moses could be that, but I'm just not that spiritual. Baloney. You are the righteousness of God in Christ.
Hallelujah.
He's already made you that. And what's more is grace says you don't have to become that. You are that. It's walking in that understanding of identity that begins to line up your actions with who you really are, not the other way around, because your actions don't define you. God defines you.
Hallelujah.
Then your actions follow those things. See, I believe that we all here, we are a people of great faith. I believe that in Africa, in China, around the world, and in Chapel Hill and Durham and our communities, we're going to see miracles and signs and wonders beyond anything that can compare. And not just from people up here, but all over, from everyone. Why? Because we have this inheritance and we've been empowered by the Holy Spirit. It's not about who you know. It's not how much you know. It's who you know. You know the one. Now, let me try to land this plane here. Has the Holy Spirit ever come upon you in your life? What were the results? If we had time to ask for testimonies, I'm sure we could hear lots of good stories. As you guys probably know, probably the biggest example for Sarah and I is this church right here. 2013, I want you to go plant a church in Chapel Hill. Like, what? You want us to do what? All right, how are we going to do that, Lord? I mean, seriously, like, we have 6 kids, and I don't know if you've noticed, have you looked, Lord, at real estate in Chapel Hill? It is not cheap. I know what he wants us to do. He wants us to go live in Durham or live in the county, you know, whatever, and then we'll drive into Chapel Hill. Nope. He clearly said to me, no, I want you to live in Chapel Hill, and I want you to put your kids in the Chapel Hill City School System. Well, how are we going to do that? Look, my kids! Lord, my poor little babies! Do you know about that school system? It's liberal. It's like, you know, whatever. I mean, in rural North Carolina, who's from rural North Carolina? I mean, you just say the word Chapel Hill, and people go, you know, it's like, oh, it's kind of got a reputation. You know what I'm talking about? I try to calm people down. Like, listen, Jesus loves Chapel Hill. Like, he's there. I started calling it, it's blue heaven. It's an open heaven. Okay. Chapel Hill is a place of an open heaven. You don't know what you're talking about. So anyway, we get here. I mean, one miracle after the next. We needed a house to at first rent. Well, a professor had a house. They were going to Japan for a year. They're believers, and they said, hey, we need somebody that could just rent this house for a fraction of the market value and so that we don't have to deal with all that. Can you take care of our dog and cat? But yeah, cool. Like, wow, all right, I guess we will. We walked into it, happened to be exact number of bedrooms, the square footage for all of our kids. It's like, what? You know, we find a little place to rent on Sunday nights over across from Whole Foods. We do that for a couple of years, and we're like, Lord, you know, Sunday night's hard. We were meeting on Sunday nights. We got our kids to get to school on Monday morning. We were getting home weary. But okay, Lord, we're just going to be faithful. We'll just keep doing it. And then Eva and Sarah go to Asheville to do a wedding for one of the first college, a friend of Michael's. She's a college student. She was getting married, marrying Billy Graham's great-grandson. And so they went to Montreat to do this wedding. And most of you know the story, but I just think there's something. Yeah, some of you haven't. So they go to do this wedding, and the pastor officiating the wedding, who was the groom's pastor in Durham, he was an Anglican pastor that I think Mark and Grace know, right? And he was talking to Sarah at the rehearsal or whatever, the reception, about church planting stuff, because they had actually planted that Anglican congregation in Durham few years prior. And so she's like, yeah, we've got this event center on Sunday night. We'd like to have Sunday morning, but the Lord just hadn't opened the door. And, da, 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 da. And he's like, well, you know what? We rent from a Seventh-day Adventist congregation, and it's great because they meet on Saturday. And so we have their whole facility on Sunday morning, all classrooms, everything. He goes, you know what? There's another SDA congregation in Chapel Hill, and they're building a building right now. Here's their card. You should check in with them. I'm not even there. So she comes home. She tells me the story. She gives me the card. I'm like, well, maybe we will. How, God? Remember, it's not how, it's who. Who is your father? So I call the elder, or I emailed him, and he's an architect in Chapel Hill also. So he was over this facility. He goes, that's so wild, because right before I got your email, our board had determined that we needed to find another church to rent to for financial reasons. And so next week, we're going to put an ad online to find that church. And then you sent me this email. He said, and then he went on to tell me, he goes, what you got to understand in the township of Chapel Hill is it's not easy to buy or build anything. Some of you might know that. And he said, it took us 7 years of red tape, finances. I mean, I remember right before this building opened, this little retaining pond out here, they couldn't get their certificate of occupancy because they hadn't bought water plants from Central America yet to go in the retaining pond. I'm just trying to paint a picture for what it's like. And it was the middle of the winter, so they had to order them to fly in from some other country. And it was like going to be a lot of money. He goes, this is just one example. 7 years. God connected us with them within 4 months of them completing a 7-year process. Wow. We walk up. The parking lot's not even completely paved yet. There's still just studs in here. And we walk up. We meet this architect. And he says to Sarah and I, he goes, oh, go talk to Joe. He's our AV guy. He's right over there. We're like, oh, okay. So we walk over. Joe's like, I hear you might be partnering with us. What are your audiovisual needs? We're like, what? It's kind of like somebody proposing marriage on a first date. Like, we just met. I don't even know what my audiovisual needs are. You know? And I'm just, you know, every time I go to the house in my life, I think about stories like that. I'm like, the answer to how is always who. We have a supernatural God that does supernatural things. And when it's time, or if it's time for us to move on and whatever as a church and our own property or whatever, then amen. I don't have to stress about that. I don't have to worry about it, because I know God has done the work, you know, in the process, and he'll continue. And I would have... You know, church planters are an interesting bunch. I mean, they're really interesting. And so when you are a church planter, you just automatically start meeting others, and they start contacting you. And one of the biggest questions I got was, well, what's your plan? And my answer was not sufficient for most of them. Because my plan was... Well, to be honest with you, I'm just going to follow the Holy Spirit and whatever he shows us to do. And this one guy, I'll never forget, he'd be like, yeah, I get that, but what's your plan? And I would be like, what? No, seriously, like, I didn't look this up on the internet. I'm not trying to find somebody's model to follow.
Come on, bro.
And see, the reason I'm saying this is because this is important for your life. You are uniquely you. God has a unique purpose and plan on your life, and it might not look like anyone.
Come on, bro.
It may not be the path that anybody called for them to follow. Right. It's the path for you to follow. The same guy, the third time. Okay, so what's your plan? Finally, he literally stopped meeting with me because he wanted to know what the plan was. The plan is God. How is always who?
Yeah.
So, number one, this is just, often we only give him part of us, but the Lord wants our entire selves. Number two, we need to change the way we think about life and ministry. All of life and everything fruitful in life and ministry comes through the power of the Holy Spirit. And number three, there is no plan B. There is not a better option. We can't, listen, you can't achieve in the kingdom by keeping the rules.
Right.
Or jumping through all the hoops. Or going to the classes that you were told to go to. Those things are well and good and they serve a purpose, but it's also missing the point. Paul said to the Galatians in chapter 3, "You foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you? Do you think that you began in grace and that now you're going to be made holy by your good works?" Wrong answer. That is not the program. What he began with you in grace, empowered by the Holy Spirit, he's going to finish it with you. Jesus said, "We have not because we ask not." Sometimes I think that if we would boldly ask for the empowerment of the Holy Spirit more often, we would receive it. Technically, we've already received it, but we're made aware of it is a better way to maybe express that. I've started praying this prayer from Randy's book every morning, and I just wanted to close by praying this over you. So will you guys stand with me? It's 12:02. All right. Praise God. And he's writing this for the person reading it. So I'm just going to read it the way that he wrote it and just ask. I just believe that the Holy Spirit really wants to impart all of these words to not just become head knowledge for you, but to really become a part of you. Father, in the name of Jesus, I ask that you would meet the faith and hunger of the person holding this book and listening right now. Just put your hands out in front of you somebody's giving you a gift on Christmas morning. You're putting your hands out to receive it. I bless this person in the name of Jesus and ask for your Holy Spirit's fire to come upon them now. Whew. I ask that you would release your compassion and love into this person's heart right now. I ask that you would especially impart the gifts of the word of knowledge, healing, prophecy, and the workings of miracles through this person in the days ahead. As they wait in your presence, Father, with hands outstretched and palms raised, I ask that your power would touch their hands. Whew, you feel that? Multiply your power. Increase your power, Holy Spirit. Baptize this reader and those listening in your Holy Spirit and fill their soul with the peace of the Prince of Peace.
Jesus.
More, Lord. More, Lord. More, Lord. Woo. In Jesus' name, I pray. Amen. Now, if you feel comfortable about this, oh, go ahead.
Well, I just want to pray one more thing. I just felt that thing when Matthew said that thing about not having a plan B. I just feel like the Lord wants to encourage some of you that feels like you have stepped out in faith.
Yeah.
And you don't have a plan B. That I believe the Lord wants to break shame off of you, because sometimes it can feel like you're doing the unwise thing. Because the wise thing is to have the plan B, the C, to have the education to back if you want to step in ministry, but have something to fall back on. or to have all the finances and all the umpteen million other options.
Yeah.
In case that doesn't work out. But I believe that the Lord is calling some of us to radical faith.
Amen.
And sometimes it may, not sometimes, God, a lot of times, it's like He calls us to things that you can't see how, and you also won't have the plan B.
Yeah.
And it's wild how He meets you there. He loves that place of that faith. And so, Lord, I just pray, if that is you, I just want you to just open up your heart. Because, Lord, I just pray over every person who maybe has felt shame for not having the B, C, D things.
Yeah.
And I just pray right now that you would break off that shame and that you would allow them to walk forward full of faith, believing that you are the only plan, the only way, the only truth, and the only life. And that you're going to meet them in their steps of faith. Lord, and I pray that all that junk would be washed off of them, the fear, the insecurity, the shame, the rejection, even. Would be washed off of them, Lord, and that they could know that, that you are going to do the supernatural things in their lives. Yeah. You're wanting to show up supernaturally, and you're going to get the glory.
Yeah.
That in that place, it's fully going to be known that you did, that it's only been by you, Lord. And I just pray that that backing of the Father would come right now.
Yeah.
That they would know that they are, you've got them before them, behind them, that the Father is the one in their corner, and that you've got them fully.
Amen.
In Jesus' name.
Amen. Amen. I know it's getting late, but can we just do this one last thing? Just grab up somebody near you. Okay? And this that we prayed, I just want you to pray just a seal over that. I just want you to pray in faith that the power of the Holy Spirit will come upon them. That God would fill them supernaturally with gifts of wisdom and understanding. Just pray as the Holy Spirit leads you to pray. And you know, pray over yourself if you don't have somebody or you feel uncomfortable with this. But just pray that God would just fill them up with His glory, His goodness. Just take a minute to do that.
In the name of Jesus, God, let the abundance of the kingdom of heaven be His portion, Father God. That even when He rests in you, Father God, that the revelations of heaven, Father God, overtake Him, God, at a cellular level, God. Let, Father God, His mind be the threshing floor of Your glory. Let His heart, Father God, be the echoes of Your promises, God. Let His steps, Father God, be ordered, God, by Your word and anchored by His faith, God. That even when it gets hard, God, that He'll stand up right, God, and the glory of heaven will open up over there and flow down like rushing winds and waters. Thank You, Jesus. Thank You, Jesus. Thank You, Jesus.
I pray for every chamber of this heart. Lord, in His heart we take for the rest of His appointed days, God. Beautifully and perfectly, God. And Lord, I just thank You that You are freeing Him from fear right now. And we just ask You, Holy Spirit, to release Your peace right now into His mind. There is nothing to fear, that You are perfect and made whole, and that You are safe. God, I just pray that You would know that You would know that when You call Him, He won't look behind Him like Moses, like, oh my God, I don't even do this good. No, that is what the point is. He is faithful to complete what He has started. Fear not. Fear not.
Amen. Some are still praying. Please continue. If you need to go, be blessed. We love you. Thank you for coming and being here today. May you go in the peace and pleasure of the Lord. Amen. You can be dismissed.